Now, the third constraint. This constraint makes existing sentences more compact. It consists for each language of a few specifiable types of reduction, even to zero, in the phonemic shape of particular word occurrences. Now, the main thing to say is, what are the word occurrences that get, that is the domain, therefore, of reduction? What is reducible is the high likelihood material. We'll see why in a moment. Certain words which have exceptionally high likelihood in a given position are reducible. An example was what we just saw about the zeroing of the second schnabel of words that are repeated, and there are other examples which I'm afraid I don't have time to give. The words that have highest, the words that have highest likelihood, that is, are expectable in a given environment, contribute little information when they enter at that point in the sentence making. That is, at least in the information theoretic sense, which will be noted next time. Their informational contribution, the amount of information that they contribute, is low if their expectancy is high, and in general, if their likelihood of a frequency is high in that situation, in that position. In this connection, it is worth noting that there are not one, but many, or at least quite a few, different situations of high likelihood which lead to zeroing or to shortening. I only gave one example for considerations of time. The fact that there are many different kinds of high likelihood situations, all of which lead to zeroing, suggests that what is the real factor is the reducibility, is the low information, because that is common to all the high likelihood situations. This suggestion is supported, the fact that we are dealing here with not merely with frequency per se, just so, but with a certain property of frequency, namely the fact that it gives high frequency low information, is supported by an example I want to give of how low information, low likelihood can block a reduction, which otherwise is slated to take place. So I want to give an example here. We have seen in the Schnabel case an example of how high likelihood leads to a reduction, to zeroing. Here I want to give an example of how low likelihood rarity blocks a reduction. To see an example, consider that one can say he has truly left, but one does not say he has falsely left. And one can say he has certainly or undoubtedly or possibly left, but you cannot say he has uncertainly or doubtfully or impossibly left. Now, the question is why? It is not that false or doubtful cannot be said of he has left, because one can say that he has left is false or doubtful, just as well as one can say that he has left is true. But it can be shown that he has truly left is a reduction, roughly, of he has left, that he has left is true. It's a reduction of two sentences, with the second sentence having the intonation of a subsidiary sentence. This is, can be shown on other grounds. If so, he has falsely left would have to have been reduced from he has left, that he has left is false. Now, it is reasonably likely for a subsidiary sentence to modify or weaken the primary sentence, especially with something like at least. As in, he has left, at least his having left is possible. One can say that. And this is reduced to, he has possibly left. But it would be rare for the subsidiary sentence to seem to contradict the primary. As in, he has left, his having left is false. Or he has left, his having left is uncertain. One even cannot say at least there. One cannot say he has left, at least his having left is uncertain. Hence, such a rare sentence pair, if ever said, would not be reduced. And that is the reason for not having it. That is the reason why we do not get he has falsely left, because he has left, his having left is false, is such a rare combination that one doesn't reduce it. There are, of course, other examples of a situation in which exceptionally low likelihood blocks a reduction. Now, each reduction can be shown to take place as soon in the making of a sentence as the conditions for it are satisfied, before any further operator acts upon the affected words. This makes it much easier to discover what the reductions are. These reductions, therefore, are ordered in the partial ordering of sentence making. They fit in among the words that entered into the sentence. We know exactly where each reduction came in. The reductions don't alter the presence of a word, only its shape and visibility. This is seen, I give various examples. I'll give one example. We can show that I expect John is reduced from I expect John to be here or to show up and so forth. There's a way of showing that. If one says I expect John momentarily, that momentarily doesn't fit with the expect, you're not expecting momentarily. It doesn't fit with John to say that he is momentary. It is the being here, the showing up, that is momentary. But the showing up is not said. It is said if you say, I expect John to be here momentarily. But if you say, I expect John momentarily, then you have zeroed the highly likely word, which we, of course, we can show that this is has special status here, leaving its modifier, its adverb. But the adverb makes sense in the word. You say, I expect John momentarily, the momentarily makes sense. That means, so to speak, that you know that to be here or to show up is there. It is not visible, but it is there. A reduction method does not change the partial order of the affected words. They are there. It does not change their likelihoods. What it does, what this constraint does do is, it says that certain phoneme sequences, which are expected, do not occur. Because if a word has been zeroed or has been changed in its shape, reduced, it is not there. So that this again changes, there is a constraint on the phoneme sequences, the combinations that appear in the language. To see that the reductions apply to a, not to a word as such, but to a word occurrence in high likelihood, because it isn't a word, it isn't Schnabel in itself that is zeroed. It is the second occurrence of Schnabel under and or but that is zeroed. And in each case, it is a word occurrence, and in particular, a word occurrence in high likelihood that is zeroed, not just a word. I want to give an example from colloquial English. In colloquial English, going to can be reduced to gonna. One can say, I'm gonna make it, from I'm going to make it. But you cannot say, I'm gonna the next room, for I'm going to the next room. There you don't do the reduction. Why do you reduce going to in I'm gonna make it, and you do not reduce going to in I'm going to the next room? But you don't say, I'm gonna the next room. The reason is that before nouns, going to is a selection of frequency only before certain ones. Before New York, the next room, and so forth, but not before word or time. Not I'm going to a word or I'm going to time. So that going to has a certain, it has visible frequency before certain nouns, not before other nouns. But before operators, before verbs, going to is a selection of frequency before all of them. If you say I'm going to go, I'm going to make it, I'm going to speak up, anything of the sort, every verb can have going to before it. Therefore, the total frequency of going to before verbs is very high. The total frequency of going to before all nouns is not so high. For that reason, the going to is zeroed, zeroable, I'm not zeroable, but reducible to gonna before verbs, and not reducible to gonna before nouns.